Marines here, amen. You know what the word Army stands for, don't you, amen? Ain't ready to be a Marine yet, amen. But anyhow, smile at me, amen. But we have several of our chaplains are naval chaplains, which means they're in the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard. And found out last May one of our chaplains was going to be relocated, and so we flew to Hawaii to sit down with his commanding officer, because they said, we need to talk to you about what we're going to ask your chaplain to do. And they moved him to Coronado, California. He checked in last week at, in Coronado, California, and he is going to be a chaplain with the Navy SEALs. I just thought that was great, amen, you know. And they chose this particular man because of his physical condition. He's 40 years old, but man, he runs like 7-8 miles a day, just on top of it, you know. And they said, not only spiritually can he do it, but physically he can do it. We thought we was on top of the world, you know, found this out. Well, then in December, we're having a conference with our chaplains, and one of our senior chaplains, he said, preacher, I got to tell y'all something. He said, I just got my orders. I said, okay. He said, my next assignment is they're moving me to Coronado, California. He said, I will be the command chaplain for the Navy SEAL base. He'll be in charge of all religious services on the Navy SEAL base for the next 3 years. I just think God has a sense of humor, amen? When they're saying you can't, God said, I can, amen? Amen? God said, I can. I can just move people where I want to be, amen, do what I want to do with them, because God's in control. And some of you don't think that. You think your God done died, he's incapable. Well, I come to tell you this week, he's still alive and well, amen. He's still doing what he wants to do, amen. It doesn't matter what's going on in the White House, amen. I got news for you. What's going on in the White House has not bothered God one bit. But I'll tell you what does bother God is what's going on in the church house.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've lost our vision. Yeah. Well, with that, I just want to give you this. With that, the Lord began to deal with my heart this year as I began my year. The Lord said, you have not because you ask not. So I started nation by nation praying for the world. Every day, I pray for a different nation. I'm methodically going through the list of the countries of the world. Every day I look at it, look at the population, look at the people, and beg God to open doors in nations. Well, while I'm with you, I'll just share it with you. Amen. Today, I was praying, I've been praying all day for Botswana, Southern Africa, nations landlocked, or not landlocked, but it's in there beside Zambia, Namibia, those nations there, South Africa. I want you to think about something. Now, folks, listen, you know what came to me as I've been going through these nations? I'm just down to Botswana. Started at the beginning. I'm just down to Botswana. How many of them are Muslim nations? But you know what broke my heart, preacher? We've thrown up our arms and say, well, nothing can be done there. Well, did God die?
Nope.
You know what? We better get to winning Muslims to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Or you're going to be serving Muslims.
Right.
You can yell about all you want. I don't like what they believe either. We can yell about what they do, believe and don't do or do, but what you better get down to giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
and asking God to send people,
yeah,
to Muslim nations.
Yeah.
And hey, let me ask you a question, and I'm not even preaching yet, but I just feel like saying this, amen. What if God called your kid to a Muslim nation? Would you be willing to sacrifice to give them up with the thought in the back of your mind that it may cost you your life? We don't pray like that. You know what we pray? God, keep all my kids at home. But who's going to reach them? I'd keep your kids home tomorrow if I was you. Because I'm going after.
Amen.
Not just to get to quit listening to the wrong music, but to give their life. Hey, thank God, son, you preached last night. People get saved. Don't get over that. Amen. Hello? It's just Wednesday night. It'll be all right. Amen. I've only preached once in the last 3 weeks. You're going to get the whole wagon load in 3 days. Amen. Got to load it up. Amen. Now, I got to get back to Botswana. What I think is interesting, not only you read this stuff, but when you read it, the history and all about Botswana, it says that they claim... They claim to be a Christian nation. They say 70% of the people in the country are Christians. And you'd read that and say, well, great, glory to God. But they're not Bible-believing Christians. They're congregationalists, Methodists. You know, saved today, lost tomorrow. Well, what's that going to do for them? They need somebody to give them the truth.
Yes.
Right. Amen?
Yes.
And what I pray every day is not just that, oh, God bless Botswana. No, God raise up preachers.
Yes. Yes.
To go to Botswana.
Yes.
God raise up preachers to go to Bhutan.
Yes.
God raise up preachers to go to Algeria.
Right.
He said it's 99% Muslim. That's what they said about Morocco, except a bunch of people found out that there's a city in the northern tip of Morocco that is a Spanish territory. It is owned and governed by Spain, and you can go there with freedom of religion. Amen. And then go there and preach the gospel to the Moroccan people and tell them about Jesus and win them to the Lord in that city, and then send them back to the rest of the nation because they're citizens of that nation.
Right. That's how it works.
Hello?
Yes.
See, God reached down and said, they say you can't, but I say you can.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So, ask you to pray for us. I send out an email every day to our missionaries, to our chaplains. This is the country we're praying for today. This is the nation. We're asking God to open doors. It might just do you good in your family prayer time that you'd get a map of the world and just put your finger on a nation. You know why you don't? I'll get to preaching in a minute. You know why you don't? You might be afraid God might call you there.
Yeah.
Or God might call your kids there. Huh? Well, I come to preach to you. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, amen. Boy, you're smiling at me now. It's getting really quiet in his room, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Now watch this. I want you to see this. Out of Hebrews chapter 11, as soon as I find my notes so I know where I'm at. Hebrews chapter 11, read these first few verses with me tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 1, he said, now faith is. I want you to underline that two-letter word. He didn't say faith was. He didn't say faith shall be. He said faith is. Now watch this. He said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now skip down to verse number 6, and we'll get there in a minute. He said, by faith, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, folks, listen. Pastor's passing out these cards. These things are called faith promise missionary giving cards. There's a reason that the first word in that is faith. Amen?
Yeah.
This is not figure out how you can do it, figure out what you can do. This is you trusting God to let God give you a figure, and then God, through you, give that amount of money by faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know what we've lost in America? We've lost, not just in our nation, but in the church houses of America, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Baptist churches, we've lost this matter of faith.
Yeah.
We forgot how to trust God and believe God and do what God wants us to do.
You're right.
He said, without, by faith. Faith is. In these next few verses through Hebrews 11, he said, by faith, by faith, by faith. Hey, listen, I researched it. 231 times you will find the word faith in the Bible. 229 of those times it's in the New Testament. I think God wants New Testament, born again, washed in the blood Christians to live by faith. Yeah. He said, the just yeah. shall live by faith. Amen. Right. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Right. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing across America, they're wringing their hands. What are we going to do? Gasoline's $3.69 a gallon. Hey, folks, it was $9.30 a gallon in Honduras. It's so expensive, they don't sell it by the gallon because they can't put the price of it on the pump. They sell it by the liter. You yelling about how expensive it is? What are we going to do? You're going to serve God by faith. And the time to learn to serve God by faith is not when the problems come. It's now. When it is somewhat good, when it is somewhat easy, now's the time. Hey, folks, listen, what are missionaries going to do? They're going to stay on the field by faith.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you tonight about faith. About faith. Now, I want you to look here in Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what he says. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. He said faith is the substance. Write this down. I'm going to give you three profound statements tonight. I don't make too many profound statements, so hang on. Amen. Number one, faith. Faith's substance is your possession. Faith's substance. Go to Hebrews or go to Romans chapter 12. I got to get in this. This is fun today. Smile. It'll be all right. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Now watch this. I've been laboring back and forth with this, and the other day, God showed me something. I about had myself a Babdecostal fit, and I was in Honduras. I figured I could speak in tongues down there, and nobody knew the difference. Amen. Now, watch this. Hebrews, Romans chapter 12. And you know what verse 1 and 2 says, that he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now watch verse 3. He said, for thy sake, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now watch this phrase. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man. The measure of faith. Are you saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Then the Bible says you're saved by grace through what?
Amen.
So there was a time in your life you realized you was a sinner and you realized that your sin separated you from God and the price of that sin was going to put you in a place called hell and you turned from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And when you made that turn in your life, something happened to you. I'll tell you what happened. You say, I got saved. Not only that, but the God of heaven dealt to you. He issued to you the measure of faith.
Yeah.
If he hadn't done that, you couldn't have got saved. Amen.
Right.
Because you get saved by faith. Amen.
Right.
But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you understood the word of God, and understood what you heard, and you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave you the measure of faith. Hello?
Yeah.
You know what I like about that verse? He didn't say a measure of faith. He said the measure of faith. That means there's only one measure of faith. And God did not give but Pastor Skyver a truckload of faith and give Brother Black a drum full of faith. He gave both of them the same thing. Hello? You young people, you listen to me tonight. I'm tired of looking back. It's time to look ahead.
Yep.
We look back and we say, look what Adnan Judson did. We look back and say, look what Hudson Taylor did. We look back and say, look what Paul did. We look back and say, look what Lester Roloff did. Hey, they didn't get any more or any less than you got.
Right.
and they just took what God gave them in that measure of faith and did great things for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
And if God did it for them, He'll do it for you.
Yes.
Faith substance is your possession. What did Paul say in Galatians chapter 2? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying to you, hey, it's not Paul's faith. It's the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, I possess in my life the faith of the Son of God. Then why can't I get my bills paid? Well, got quiet, didn't
we? Yeah.
Well, preacher, God, I can't give any more money to missions. You possess it. Faith substance is your possession. You have it. I mean, I don't have time, but you go to 2 Corinthians 10, and Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said down through there, he said, look, he said, I've come as far as to you in preaching the gospel, and he said, I have not went beyond the measure. He said, man, I went from Antioch, he said, all the way through Macedonia, preaching the gospel to you, and watched God open doors and save people. And he said, I've not even went beyond that measure. Hey, folks, Paul was trying to tell us, I've done all this in the measure. You possess it. Now, here's what God got hold of my heart. You know what? We go back and we say, well, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. You know why they had to say that? Because they didn't have what we had.
Right.
That's right. We have the finished work of Calvary.
Yes, we do.
We have the blood sacrificed upon Calvary. We have a resurrected Savior that sits on a throne today that intercedes with us to our Heavenly Father. It's done. It's completed. It's over. And when we got saved, we got it all.
Yeah.
Amen. Hello? We didn't just get sealed with the Holy Spirit. We didn't just get eternal security. We got the faith.
Yes. Yes.
That's why he said we're to contend for the faith.
Yes.
That was once delivered unto the saints.
Right.
Why? We've got it. Yes. It's my possession. Now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Now come back here. Let me show you something. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Boy, got kind of quick. Quiet around here tonight. I love it when it gets quiet. Some guy said to me, he said, preach, it's hard to say amen when you're standing on my throat. I said, okay. He said, now faith is the substance. Faith's substance is my possession. Now watch this. Second statement. He said it, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith's supply is my prize. Faith's substance is my possession. Faith's prize is my supply. What does Paul say to the church in Philippians? He said, and my God shall supply all your need. Amen. Hey, have you ever been in that place where God just supplied? Yeah. We were telling Pastor Skyler tonight at dinner, our son Tim, He fell off of bed one night, hit his head, and woke up, decided he wanted to pastor a church. He's youth director, Christian school principal, all that, music director. And then he calls me one day and said, God wants me to pastor a church. I said, well, are you sure about that? And he said, yeah, I'm just kidding when I said he fell off the bed. Amen. God got hold of his heart, and so he starts looking for a church. And there's churches all over America, and he's talking to this one. This church runs 150. This runs 200. This runs, and he said, Daddy, he said, I'm going down next week to preach this church in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. I said, how big is it? He said, they got eight people. I said, eight people? Now, I told him, I'm saying, the Lord, there's got to be a bigger place for that to take care of. I don't too worry about him. He can go do whatever he wants. It's the three grandkids are, amen. I didn't want him going out somewhere starving to death with my three grandkids. Amen.
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 Yeah, baby.
But here he keeps talking about this church in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Seven women, one man. All of them were the age of 65. Goes down and preaches. He calls me back. He said, Dad, he said, they got a building, 8 acres of property, a fellowship hall, and it's all paid for.
Wow.
I said, okay, but you still only got 8 people. He went back and preached again. He said, Dad, I believe it's where God wants me to be. I said, how are you going to live? I tell you how God works. I mean, we're sitting there, he's talking about this thing. So I'm thinking, I'm going to prove to him this ain't going to work.
Amen.
I said, do you ever think about what's just going to cost you to move to Pilot Mountain, North Carolina? He said, no. I said, let's just put, I pulled out my iPad, typed up, you know, one of those rental places, a U-Haul. I said, okay, right there it is, $400 plus gas to rent a U-Haul for you to move to Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Sarah, my daughter-in-law, went, she said, but we don't have $400. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to wake up. And so we're standing there talking about it, and I said, okay, me and Mama got to go do something. And as we were leaving, a man comes up to the house and knocks on the door, and I opened the door, and he said, how you doing, brother? He said, good. He walked in, we walked out, and when we got back, Tim said, you should have been here, Dad. He said, he walked in, said, God told me I'm supposed to give this to you. He said, I've been saving it to do something else, but God told me to give it to you, and laid $480 on the counter and walked out. And faith is.
Yes, sir.
And faith supplies. I could take the rest of the night to tell you what God has done for that young couple to put them in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Hey, folks, faith supply is my prize.
Yes.
Hey, I'll tell you, we're getting ready to go to Honduras, and I'm thinking, okay, God, Honduras, Trinidad, we're going to go down to Mexico. We're talking about going to Nepal. I just kept thinking about how much it's all going to cost. And I'm getting ready to go to Honduras, and preacher friend of mine from Pennsylvania calls and he said, hey brother, he said, how you doing? I said, good. He said, you should have been here yesterday. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, our offering at our church yesterday was $67,000.
Oh, good. Well, I'm coming, Martha.
I said, okay. He said, God put one check in the offering yesterday for $61,000.
Wow. Amen.
This is the third time he's done it. And every time he does it, he said, now you whatever you want with it, but you have to give 10% of the commission.
Yeah.
So he said, I called CD, you need any money? I said, you want me to give you the list? He started laughing. I said, you ready to go to Honduras? I said, yeah. He said, you have money to pay for the ticket? I said, it'd be all right. I was okay. He said, you better leave. He said, check it in tomorrow.
Amen.
And they'll be a check for $1,000.
Amen.
Which paid for the ticket, paid for the expenses. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Faith supply is my prize. I don't know about you, I love it. Don't you? Don't you like it when God just reaches over and says, here?
Amen.
I mean, and God wants, let me give you this one and I'll move on because this is just the introduction to the message. So breathe, it'll be all right, amen. Our son went down and took that church in North Carolina. By the way, they had 34 Sunday, amen. They've had 5 saved. They've had 4 families join the church since he got there. Ain't God good, amen. Well, they're getting ready. They had closed down their fellowship hall. Turned the electric off. Didn't have, and he said, we need to put the electric back on the fellowship hall. He said, we need to have Christmas dinner in there.
Yeah.
They said, man, we hadn't done that in years. So they turned the electric back on. They cleaned it all up. And so Tim and Sarah were in Winston-Salem at the Walmart. 20 miles from where they live. He's just been there 2 months, doesn't know nobody.
Yeah.
And they were buying stuff for the banquet and everything. And so Sarah said, I'm going to go over and get a couple things we need for the kids for Christmas. And she said, you take the kids and go get the groceries. And so he's walking through the grocery aisle with my 3 grandkids. And this guy walks up to my son and said, excuse me, sir. He said, is those your kids? He said, yes. He said, you still married to their mother?
Yeah.
He said, they're on forever.
Amen.
He said, Merry Christmas, son. I fell out his hand and brought the Walmart card.
Amen.
That was only $25. Did you realize what $25 means to 3 kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the $25.
It's God.
Yes.
Taking care.
Yes.
Faith supply.
Yes.
Now, here you want to hear the kick to that story? The guy, Tim's just standing with his blank look on his face, and the guy said, "Son, it's real."
Amen.
And he turned around, "Look, kids." And he turned back to say to the man, "Thank you again." And he said, "Dad, I couldn't fight." Hello?
Amen.
See, you, that's what your problem is tonight. You don't think God does that. He's still alive. He's still well. He's still doing it. Church of Tim Nary and Benny in Pennsylvania mailed him a check for $1,000. Said, "Here, this will help you live till you get the church going."
Yeah.
Faith supply. See, that's what I want for you young people. I want you to get to that place in your life and you see God do that.
Yes.
Faith supply. That's our price. And now here's the message. How do we get from faith substance to faith supply? Now come back here to Hebrews chapter 11. Whew. I'm having fun whether anybody else likes it or not. Now watch verse 6. He said, "Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now watch this. Faith's substance is my possession. Faith's supply is my prize. But faith's struggle is my biggest problem. You know what the problem in America today is? It's not that God is unable.
Right.
It's we just don't put God to the test.
You're right.
The greatest faith struggle is my problem. God said, "I will. I'm willing. I'm able. I'm sitting here waiting."
Yes.
My God shall
supply
your need. He's waiting. He's just saying, "Trust me. Do something. Watch me." And he's waiting for us.
Yes.
And we're struggling between what we know we should do and what we do. And we got to come to that place where we finally walk by faith. We take a step of faith. We take a leap of faith. Amen. We do something that step out there in that realm. Let me ask you a simple question. When's the last time you did something by faith?
Right.
But you know the only way this is going to work, God's going to have to do this.
Yes.
When's the last time you did that? See, that's the struggle. That's what we live with. That's my problem. God is able. He said, "You possess everything you need to do whatever I want you to do. You have the possession, and the prize is out here waiting. He's just waiting for me to perform. He's waiting for me to get through this struggle, get past my problem, and just trust him." And do it.
Yes.
See, there's the key. Right there. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Here's the key to it all. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. He said in verse 9, "These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," underline that two-letter word, "do."
Yes.
Do. Hey, you know what we've become good at in fundamentalism in America? We've become a don't religion. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. But God says, what I want you to become is a do religion. Yes, you're not supposed to do that. But once you've turned your back on all that, now do something. Take a step of faith. Trust me. Hello?
Yeah.
When's the last time you just did it? Because God said so.
Yes.
I'm telling you what, me and Mama sit many hours thinking, "Tim, are you serious?
moving your family to North Carolina, seven men, women, one man, all of them senior citizens. Uh-huh. But it's amazing, isn't it? Every family that's come since then are all younger people. I said, where are you going to live? Lady in the church called him one day. She said, I've been arguing with God. I'm tired of arguing. Then come over here. And we over there met her at this house. This big old huge house sits on 8 acres of property. Got 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms upstairs, full basement, 2 garages. Said, here, God told me this. She said, my husband died a few years ago, and my husband's wife died a few years ago. We got married, we moved into his house. This house just sat here empty. Move in.
Amen.
Be our pastor. Do not live in a do faith. You're living in a show me faith.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Lord, you show me how this is going to work. And I'll do it. But that ain't how God works.
That's right.
God is not like, let me show you what I'm going to do, and then you can do it. God says, do it, and then watch me.
Right.
Yeah. You know what that verse says? When he said in do, and he said in what? Now look at the next phrase there in Philippians chapter 4. Just do. And what he said in the next verse, and he said, and the God of peace shall be with you. You go to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. He said, every man purpose in his heart what he will give, not grudging of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then he says the next verse, and God is able, amen, to make all grace abound to you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto all good works. He said, just do it.
Yes.
When's the last time you just did it? I was preaching up in Flint, Michigan. Boy, you talk about a desolate place. Flint, Michigan's a desolate place. I mean, the Buick plants all moved out there. I mean, people that were near retirement lost their retirement. People that were on retirement lost their medical benefits. I mean, it's a desolate place. I'm preaching mission conference in church up there. The first year that all happened, and their faith promise doubled. The next year it doubled again.
Amen.
This last year it went up again.
Amen.
And I'm preaching about trusting God. And this man came up to me and he said, preacher, I got a story to tell you. He said, I've been telling God for the last 2 weeks, there's no way I can give any more money to missions. There's nowhere. He said, but you got after me, and God got on me last night. So he said, I went down to the altar last night and said, God, if you make a way, he said, in fact, God, don't even make a way, I'm just going to do it.
Amen.
He said, I got up this morning, the mail came. He said, when we got the mail, there's a letter in the mail from the UAW. Said, sir, we've made a mistake in your retirement. You should have been getting $150 a month more than you have been getting. So if you'll just give us this piece of paper, we will give you all the back money that we've owed you.
Amen.
I'll give you the other $150 a month. And he said, God said, see.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
That's right.
Right.
You know what your problem is? You're waiting for God to send a letter before you do it.
You're right.
God already had the letter on the way. You know what I believe? I believe God's big enough to take the letter out of the mail if he hadn't just done it.
Yep.
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 I do too. He said, well, preacher, the letter was already on the way. What's wrong with you? He said, you've done figured it out. I can get all figured out, preacher. I know exactly what I'm going to give to missions. I've already figured out that we've got 2 cats. We're going to get rid of the cats, take all the cat money. Well, you ought to get rid of cats anyhow, but that's what hello? I got in trouble with that one night. A lady came up the next night and brought me a cat pen, put it on my shoulder. You figured out, well, you know, we don't go to McDonald's this week. We do more money than missions. Don't you think God is able?
Yeah.
Ken just keeps calling me. He said, that should have been here. They went out to eat last Tuesday night, the Chick-fil-A. Guy comes over, starts talking to him. He introduced himself. I'm a new pastor at Powder Mountain, the Rescue Baptist Church. That's a really, man, I'm saying, I love God. He said, man, praise God. I love another man. God, this place is it. God, this is it.
done in a day. He's like, do something. And God might do something for you.
I know a fellow on his way to Zambia, Africa as a missionary. He was pastoring a church, and he just led the church into a brand new building program, $750,000. He said, and then God told him to go to the mission field. He said, God, that would be unethical. It would not be right to leave this church $750,000 in debt after I led him into it. He said, if you really want me on the mission field, then you do something about it. And he said, I'm willing to go. You just have to do it. 2 weeks later, his treasurer walked in on a Sunday morning and said, preacher, what's going on? He said, why? He said, there was two checks in our offering plate today, independent from each other, from people that are not even involved in this church, each one of them for $500,000.
Amen.
Amen. Between the substance and the supply is your obedience. The struggle.
Yeah.
Took this young missionary, I'll tell you this one. I took this young missionary to Honduras
last week. We were down there, we're getting his language school ready, we're getting his place to stay ready, just checking all out what's going to happen when he gets to Honduras. He got to tell me the story. He said, brother, you remember preaching at missions conference in October? I said, yes, sir. He said, that was when Tim was going to Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. He said, yeah. He said, remember what I told you that God told me to do? I said, yeah. He got to tell the story that here he is on deputation. He don't even have 50% of his support. They've been trying to save what money they can so when they get ready to go to the field, they have money for language school, which at that time they anticipated was going to be $5,000. So he said, we wanted to have $5,000 in the bank for language school. He said, we had about $550 in the bank. And he said, he got a letter from a friend of his that was wanting to make a mission trip, felt like God wanted him on the mission field. And he said, pray for me. He said, I got to have the money by Sunday. This was like Monday or Tuesday he got this letter. He said, I've got to have the money by Sunday to go on the mission trip. He said, I need $536. As soon as I read the letter, he said, God told me, take that $536 down there and give it to him. He said, I told my wife what God said. She said, you better do what God said. He said, I got in the car, drove down to the man's house, walked in his house, handed him a check for $536. He said, God told me to give this to you.
Amen.
It's a missionary on deputation. He said, we went to the next service we had on deputation, and a lady walked up to him and said, we've been waiting for you to get here, preacher. He said, God told us to give this to you. And handed him a check for $1,000. Got done with that meeting on Sunday morning, drove back to his home church on Sunday night, didn't have another meeting. Walked in there, and the lady said, we've been waiting for you to get here, brother. He said, God told us to give this to you, and handed him a check for $4,000.
Amen.
And in 1 week, by doing, he received the prize. See, God already had it laid out.
But can I tell you, there's some bigger things than paying your electric bill?
Yes.
calls me Poppy.
Yeah.
He was born to a young lady, and her husband, our son and daughter-in-law, when the world says you don't have children. In fact, the last April 30th, when the baby came, the lady delivered the baby, walked out and said, there's no way that should happen.
Wow.
Tell you how it happened, honey? You got it. What's your name? I can tell you how it happened. God! God!
Yes.
Of hope?
Amen.
We got quiet, didn't we?
Yeah.
God's still able. He's still alive. He's still up. Hey, young people, you get a hold of this tonight. You got it.
Yeah.
You possess faith substance. God has a whole room full of faith prizes out here. He wants to give you.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for you to perform, to get past the struggle, get past what mom and dad tell you God can't
do.
Just go do it. And watch God.
Yes.
When's the last time you did something by faith? You said, but preacher, I'm a senior citizen. When's the last time you did something by faith? I could take you to a little church tonight and I'm done. Little lady comes at church. She's the sweetest lady you've ever been around. You don't shake her hand, you hug her neck. I'm preaching out on faith one night. She walked up and handed the preacher her faith promise card. Preacher said, you need to go talk to her. I said, what do you mean? He said, her faith promise card's half her monthly income. He said, and that's my mother-in-law. He said, if she gives all that, guess who gets to take care of her? I said, I hope she gives it all. Amen. I went over to her and I said, hey, Ma, I said, preacher, let me talk to you about this faith promise card. She said, are you a preacher or are you a liar? I said, what do you mean? She said, you told me if I did what God told me to do, he'd take care of it. I said, then do it. I walked over. I said, you argue with her about it. He calls me 2 weeks later. He said, my mother wants to talk to you. I got on the phone. She said, you faithless bunch of preachers. What? She was holding in her hand a check for the entire amount of the faith promise she told God she'd give. Her husband had died several years before that. She didn't know what he had or didn't have, but he found out after he died he had a bunch of stock. And that's this, you know how long ago this has been, because the stock did good. And she hadn't gotten a letter that day from the company, the stock company, and said, look, we're going to give you a dividend check. Your stock has done really good. It was to the penny of 50% of her income.
Amen.
That God told her to give. He was just waiting for her to do it. Get this, folks. Faith promise is teaching you how to live, not just how to give. And there's going to be days you're going to need greater things than money. And God said, if you can trust me now and live by faith now, wait till you see what I do. My wife and I have been there enough times to know that 38,000 feet in a burning airplane, $1 million is not what you need. You need the hand of a God. That was 3 years ago. By faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. Your watch care over us. And I pray tonight, please, Father, you would do something in our heart tonight, please. This matter of faith. Move us as only you can tonight. Lord Jesus, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me tonight. God spoke to me about my faith." Would you slip your hand up? I'd like to pray for you tonight. There's hands all over this room tonight. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. God really spoke to you. Then won't you come tonight?
Yes.
Say, "Lord, help me. God's still working tonight. Come on. Altar's about full, but there's room for you in an aisle. There's room for you at a chair. You say, "Preacher, God don't do that stuff." Folks, the things I've told you about tonight didn't happen 100 years ago. They happened in the last 3 months. What are you teaching your kids tonight, Mom and Dad? Are you teaching them to live by faith? I'm not telling you to go home tonight, quit your job, to say, "Okay, God, here I am." But I'm telling you, God wants you to do something by faith. Take your time tonight. Do business with the Lord. But if you meant business in an altar tonight, you ought to change what happens in your life.